Continuing the reading of the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9, verse 24, verse 41. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Would ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, hearing is a marvelous thing, that he know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man will be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, Him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with you, with them. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore, your sin remaineth. God adds his blessing to the reading of his sacred word. The topic of the message assigned to me is awakened from blindness. Now, with regard to blindness, at least I can speak from my own experience, is that quite many years ago I had an operation on my left eye. And I was operated again, and I could see about 30%. But then, of latter years, it seems to deteriorate, and now I cannot see anymore on the left eye. But God is good, and He knows everything. He let my left eye, that was the weak eye, to go. But he preserved for me the right eye that was 6 upon 6. Now it is maybe 5 upon 6. Anyway, it's a good eye. And with modern invention, how wonderful they make the eyeglasses to fit you. And I can read and see very clearly with a good eye. Well, that's a first degree of blindness, I think. Secondly, I have good experience by showing the film of the blind Korean pastor. And there we see how both eyes went out. And he became totally blind. But it was in his blindness that he got converted. And so in his blindness he saw. And now he is doing a marvelous job. I've been to his school that he opened, school for the blind, for about 50 of them. And it's a beautiful building that the Lord has given him. And I believe that it takes a blind man who saw before, now converted, to run a blind school because he understands the feelings of the blind people. But now we come to the third degree, and that is of a person who is born blind, had never seen anything. And he could feel his hands, his head, or maybe the hands of his friends. And he would sit down there at the temple, most probably. But he was not carried there like the man who was born lame. He could feel his way and would sit there. And he knows all the precincts about Jerusalem. He also knows about the pool of Siloam that is some distance away from the temple. So that when the Lord said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, he was able to find his way. Well, there is a picture of those who come to church, who come to Sunday school, and they have an understanding of all the things that are in the Bible, of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, but he has it only in his head. I had a friend, the first one I ever baptized in my ministry. And he got 95 to 100 always for his examinations, the gospel and the Acts. But he did not believe anything. He said, I studied all this just to pass exams. But in his latter years, he was still not too old, but he got cancer. And he was going to die. But suddenly, he awoke to all the truths that he had received, and he believed with all his heart. And now he is a new person. And when I went to see him, he was so happy. He related me the story. I want you to baptize me because now I have seen the truth. Well, that was me also. Up to the age 15, I went to church. I lived in my grandfather's church. He was the pastor there. Attending services was without question. There was no running away. And I heard everything. But I did not have a Bible. I prayed the Lord's Prayer just only out of mechanical learning. And if at all I uttered a prayer, it was something that was taught by my mother. Everything was of no spiritual value to me. Well, this man was born blind. Now at this point, after believing what the Lord had said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and then you will see. And as he washed, he was amazed to see everything, such a beautiful world that he never knew. He knew what was water, but he did not ever know that there was a pool like Siloam. He knew something about buildings, but never knew it was such a grand temple. Wonderful to receive the sight. Because Jesus says to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When this blind man now saw, he was like being born again, but only he saw the physical things. He now saw all the spiritual values. Oh, what a wonderful day. There are many who come to Sunday school, many who come to church, and you may be hearing the sermon week in, week out, but nothing happens to you. And so it happens to our young people. They even come for reaffirmation of faith, and we are so happy. But why don't they attend church? And why do they go into the world? But I thank God for a good number who, when they come for the reaffirmation of faith, sticks to the church and loves the church, and they enjoy every sermon. They can pass remarks and comments. And that is a contrast between those who may come to reaffirm the faith, but they do it because at the behest of the parents or under certain pressure, but they are not born again. That is why they leave the church. I had a pianist in the old days at Prinsep Street, and he would play all the songs for me. But he told my brother, whatever your brother says, I can't understand a word. I don't know what he's talking about. Now that is the same symptom of those who may be coming to church week in and week out, like this blind fellow sitting there in the temple precincts, most likely. But then he could not see anything. He has some idea, that's all. So, as it is applied to every one of us here, to examine our faith, whether we are in him. For the Lord has clearly said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when he cannot see the kingdom of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God, of heaven. Now let us examine this man born blind, who now sees not only the physical things, but the spiritual things. What happens to a person who is made now to clear to see the things around him, who can now see the kingdom of God? I want you to take note, first of all, of verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Poor thing. When a man is blind, what can he do? He is simply at the mercy of all these circumstances surrounding him. All he can do is to sit the whole day and with outstretched hand, please give me 5 cents, 10 cents, or at most even a dollar that someone might pity him. And so it was a case of blind Bartimaeus who sat on the Jericho road. But he was a wise man. He did not say, "Please give me a dollar." But he cried with loud voice to Jesus, "David, the Son of God, have mercy upon me. Oh, that I may see." And Jesus touched him and gave him the sight and became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ immediately. In the case of this man who was born blind, he could not know anything better, and he did not hear of Jesus even. But it is Jesus who comes to him. "As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And he opened his eyes to prove a theological point. Because all these are trying to see the reason why he was blind. And some said it's because the parents had sinned. And Jesus said, no. Perhaps it's their own sin. No. But Jesus said, "But that the glory of God may be shown today, the Lord had caused him to be born blind, and he was sitting there. Maybe now he's about 25 years, or 25 years perhaps, he was in that blind condition." Oh, what a life of torture, a life of sorrow and sadness, a life of hopelessness. But he believed, and he washed, his eyes could see. Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ? If you believe in him, there are plenty of blessings that he promises us that he will bestow to you. Well, the situation is that he is no more sitting there and he is no more begging. You see him going around challenging the Pharisees, so full of joy and gladness, so full of birth, so full of wisdom, so full of good argument, better than a lawyer, better than any professor. All the answers that he gave to the Pharisees who persecuted him, as well as our Lord Jesus Christ. When a man is converted, when a man is born again, the first thing is that his physical life and all the fortunes of this life are converted. Instead of sitting there, he now can walk, he can run, and you can see him active all the time, witnessing. When you are born again, when the Lord has opened your spiritual eyes, the first thing is that you are alive. The Chinese say that many you see on the streets are but living and walking corpses. In fact, they are dead. That is what the Chinese say, and that is a very good saying. Living and walking corpses. There is no purpose of life. Oh, how sad. Even I have some students who come to the Far Eastern Bible College, and I make every allowance to try to rehabilitate this person. He has come to join my school at least 3 times, but he could not make it, and he came again, and the parents beg of me, "Please do something for him." I try to do everything for him, but I come to a conclusion But he may never have been born again. He is never converted. But when a person is converted and born again, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. How wonderful then it is to be a Christian when before he had no hope in the world, and before he was just dribbling along life and not knowing where to go. Immediately, you begin not sitting down, but walking and running and actively engaged. The second point is, you not only were sitting down and now you can walk around and you can be active in every phase of life. You no more beg. You not only can walk around, you can work. When a person is converted, his profession, his job, his career is also converted. And I'm so happy to see the second degree conversion of those who have been saved, and then as they serve around and they serve the world, they come to the conclusion, it's better for me to serve the Lord. And I really challenge those who are serving the world. You may get a good pay, but you have no job satisfaction. You realize that when you give yourself over to the Lord, you have become His ambassadors, and you are living a new plane. You begin to enjoy and rejoice in a newfound job. Now I am no more serving my old master, but if you serve the Lord, now you work with your hands. The third thing about this blind man is, after he was healed from his blindness, he lost touch with Jesus, his master. Because you are so involved with the Pharisees, he was three times examined by them, even pulled before his parents, and the parents being afraid of the Pharisees to say anything about him, that he is our son, and truly he was born blind, said, you can ask him, he's a grown-up man, and he can tell you. And so he came under the examination of the Pharisees. But it is a wonderful thing to read the account of how under cross-examination, truth is a truth. It sticks to one point, whereas I was blind, but now I see. I want to see with you the marvelous argument that he gave to these who tried to persecute him. Let us come to verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, he defended his Lord. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know one thing and know that whereas I was blind, now I see. You know, when you have the truth in you and you stick to the truth, there is no one can ever break down your witness. That is the first reply he gave to them. Now the second, he answered them, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciple? He already told them how he had come to see by going to wash in the pool of Siloam, and he saw. But the Pharisees, trying to foul him up, to catch him on some weak point, tell us again how you come to see. And his answer was really superb. better than a defending lawyer. Why, that's funny. I told you already that if you want to hear, that means you want to be his disciple. I told you, and you don't hear. Then we can come to the third point. They revile him and said, thou art his disciple. We are not his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. Then they say, we know that God speak unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. His answer, well, the man answered and said unto them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing, but ye know not from whence he is, and yet he can open my eyes. You should know that he is somebody very special. At least he's a prophet. Of course, the blind man had not seen or heard of Jesus before this time. And he needed to be introduced as Savior. And so he answered the best he could, and it was an unanswerable answer. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And then he explained to them, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. What a wonderful thing. Since the world began. But today, with all the charismatics, and the claim to heal the lame and make them walk, and open the eyes of those that are blind, and this statement was published in a brochure introducing the German charismatic leader, Reinhard Bonnke, many years ago. And who wrote these words and said, the Bishop of Singapore, Moses what? I forgot his surname. But these are the words that were written about Reinhard Bonnke. They truly open the eyes of the blind. Do they? Make believe. They think so. But the interesting thing is, in the after campaign report, this young lady said, I had my left eye healed by Reinhard Bonnke, by the evangelist. But now I'm going to the hospital for operation on my right eye. Well, that's funny. If he could heal a left eye, why should you go to the hospital for the operation on your right eye? You see, if it is not the truth, then all the falsehood will appear. Truth will out. But the blind man answered in such a way, since the world began, it has never been heard that anyone who is born blind can see. This person must be something. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us, and cast him out. But what a wonderful defense of the truth. What a wonderful apologetic. Apologetic is not to apologize, but to defend the truth. All the divine logic is given. And that's how wonderful it is when a person is first converted, when a person has now been blessed by the filling of the Holy Spirit, he can speak the word of God most effectively. During the Wales revival, 1905 or so, it is recorded for us that those who were coppersmiths, blacksmiths, shoesmiths, under the blessing of the Holy Spirit of the great revival, they were able to preach powerful sermons, not only up to a time and the gift was withdrawn, but in the first flash of Holy Spirit revival, they could speak very effectively for the Lord. During the Johnson revival in Singapore 1935, there was a great stirring of souls, both scholars, children, school children, amas, asam, all these domestic helps in those days. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was wonderful to hear them testify and also to hear them preach sermonettes, even from Amas. And they spoke the word of God most effectively. But the gift was withdrawn, and they went back into their old jobs. This is in order to teach us humility, that we need to have Bible college to train a new generation of preachers. And it takes years to train. I still remember when the Lord called me and I finally yielded to the Lord. The most I could do was to give a testimony and to give a little sermon that I prepared for how many hours and spoke 15 minutes and that's the end. We need that for the training. And so, Jesus was hidden for a purpose. Now he appears, and this is what happened. Not only the man born blind, the man who is now born again, he now could walk around with his legs, work around with his hands, witness around against all falsehoods hurled at our Savior. But the most important thing is that now he knows how to worship the Lord. Because here, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" That's the first time he heard the term Son of God. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Jesus said, "Thou hast most seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. The most important thing is to give Jesus our heart. He now could kneel down and worship the Lord. The greatest purpose and the highest joy is that when Jesus converts a person and causes him to see again, to be born again, that he might see the kingdom of God, is that he might give him his heart, that he might worship him. And I can relate my own experience again. Whereas before going to church, because I stayed in a church, there's no way of running to another place, and I had to go through all the motions of Sunday school and worship service. And you develop a kind of morning sickness there, in Latin called morbus sabbaticus, Sabbath sickness. You were dead in trespass and sin. You could not understand. But once we are born again, we are full of praises and glory and sang to his name and to his glory. Whereas before I did not own any Bible at the age of 15. Somehow my parents missed the point and never examined me if I had any Bible. But there were all the Bibles in the pews in the church. So I may argue, there are all the Bibles there I can read, but I never read. But once I got saved, I bought three Bibles. One English, one Chinese-English Testament. And I read the Bible in 6 months, day and night, so sweet. That is a form of worship. Reading the Word of God is worship. Because we prayerfully read it to pray to Him, and He gives us the answer by speaking out of the book to us. And then going to church was a wonderful experience. When Easter came around and we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we went caroling even for Easter, oh, what an expectation. You almost can feel that Jesus is there. You want to see Him and touch Him. When Christmas came around, oh, what a wonderful and glorious experience to sing like the angels and to feel that the angels are around. So I pray that when you come to church, it may be a glorious experience week after week, because you come and worship Him. How do you cure your depression? Well, I've told you, read the Psalms, and several got healed by reading the Psalms. But in the same Psalm, Psalm 42, that talks about the depression of the soul, is that I used to go to church, I went with them, with the crowd, the multitude, on the holy day to worship. When you come and worship Him and the heart is filled with praise and glory, all your sorrows and sadnesses will be gone. And so with this man born blind, he was never so happy in all his life because he has found his Savior. Is anyone here burdened today? Is anyone here dribbling along life's way? Is anyone here without hope and without God, though you come to church like the man born blind? He knew all the precincts of the church, the temple, the pool of Siloam. He knew where to go. But he never saw its reality. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, touch us and heal us and open our spiritual eyes that we may see the kingdom of God and that we may worship You and witness for You and work for You and be active for You. In Jesus' name. Amen.